Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Hello and welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast, your favorite rookie-centric podcast. I'm your host, Dave FF underscore Spaceman Wright, bringing you tonight's profile after Mike Fanero at Aardvark TV and Shane Swagger at Swagzilla Zero G brought you two rookie profiles earlier this week. During the series, we've been going in-depth with our favorite rookie analysts to give you a focused and complete look at the most exciting rookies from the 2021 class. And tonight's guest is Jarek Backus. He's the co-founder of a very cool new website, campus2canton.com, a website dedicated to one of the fastest growing fantasy football formats. Jarek is also a fellow spreadsheet nerd. Actually, he's a little bit cooler than that. He's into the R, so he's actually a real nerd compared to me just being an amateur. But yeah, so Jarek knows his stuff. He has a database for just Devy players that goes back to 2009 with important metrics for the stars of tomorrow. And I can't stress enough how hard this information is to come by and the way he puts it out there for people. If you're into Devy, go check out Jarek's database. It is top notch. But at Jarek Backus on Twitter, Jarek, welcome hopefully to your first of many appearances on the Rookie Fever Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk about one of a pretty good rookie.
Oh, I cannot wait to talk some Isaiah McCoy tonight. Really intriguing prospect not a lot of people are talking about. But before that, Jarek, why don't you take us through your rookie wide receiver evaluation process? One of the biggest criticisms of the analytics crowd are that we make things too complicated. We overthink things. But what I really like about your process is you have a very succinct, straightforward process for evaluating these rookie wide receivers. So can you take us through that?
Yeah, so for wide receivers, my work focuses around breakout year instead of breakout age, which has been the dominant tactic or method for the longest time. But recently, Anthony Amico has done some work to show that breakout by year out of high school is more significant in projecting NFL outcome than breakout age is. So I switched to using breakout year this year. And it has the added benefit of not having to search for any more prospect birthdays, digging on their Instagram or anything.
Or like looking for tweets from 4 years ago about, hey, yeah, happy 21st birthday, dude. Right? Wow, Jarek comes in hot right off the bat, slams one of my personal favorites in breakout age. But no, I've read the work by Anthony Amico, very compelling, talking about breakout year. And breakout year, for people who don't know, is the years out of high school instead of just age, because you have players like Calvin Ridley who comes to mind and other players who get to college late, and why should they be penalized for when they're born in the calendar or things along that line? So that is very compelling. Now, Jarek, how do you go about using breakout year?
I use breakout year in conjunction with weighted dominator, which is dominator rating, which is your market share of reception yards averaged with the market share of TDs. Generally, dominator is a 50-50 split of those two metrics, but weighted dominator actually gives an 80% weighting to the reception yards market share and a 20% weighting to TDs. And that work was, I believe, also done by Anthony Amico to show the optimal weighting of these market share metrics. So in terms of breakout year, I just look for the year that they crossed the 30% threshold for weighted dominator. And then I also like to see them crossing the top 24 or the average of the top 24 NFL players in year one or two out of high school. So I look at that for weighted dominator. I also like to use reception yards per team pass attempt in my scouting, which is exactly what it sounds like. Reception yards divided by the team pass attempts. It's instead of just a market share metric, it is a market share mixed with efficiency metric, and is actually, I believe, a little bit more predictive in itself of projecting rookies to the NFL. So I'll also look for them going over the average of the top 24 NFL players in year one or two in that metric as well.
I just want to add, what is really exciting about what Jarek is talking about are two major things. First, one of the biggest criticisms of Dominator rating is that it isn't as predictive as people think it is. It's very descriptive, understanding the share of touchdowns and receiving yards, but the touchdowns add some extra noise into the predictiveness of the NFL, because as we know, at the NFL level, touchdowns are very volatile. So when you lessen that to a certain extent of 80-20, like Jarek does, that really adds a lot more signal to a very descriptive metric as well. So that's a plus. And also, yards per team attempt is extremely basic stat. It's very simple, very easy to understand. And efficiency metrics, which is what part of you're getting in yards per team attempt, are not very predictive overall. However, this metric in itself is predictive, and what makes it so extraordinary as such a simple stat that combines market share and efficiency all into one stat. And yards per team attempt is useful at the college level and the NFL level as well. It's very useful there as well. So it's a great, flexible, simple stat for both levels, unlike Dominator rating, because we never talk about Dominator rating because we have other ways to measure the share of an offense at the NFL level.
Right, right. Yeah, because in the NFL, we got to work with target share metrics, which isn't publicly available for free, which is the hard part. Who knows? Target share metrics may be more predictive even, but it's not free, and it's not easy to come by because they're just not tracked in college.
And as we nerd out even more, that target data isn't available for FCS level competition. It's only available for Division I. So then we can't compare the small school prospects to Division I, which is a mess. And also across these different private companies that do collect target data, you'll find a lot of variability and it isn't reliable across services. So that causes a headache as well. And now my question for you, as we really continue to nerd out here, how do you go about quantifying your weighted dominator and your yards per team attempt? Use a career average to represent this, a best and last, just a peak production? How do you go about measuring this and implementing it in your process?
There's some work that Cooper DFF on Twitter has done, showing that your early career stats for wide receivers, like year one and year two, explain how good you are as a receiver better than your later career stats. I heavily weight freshman and sophomore breakouts. And there's different kind of breakouts, I guess. One, you can say they hit over the top 24 trend line, which that's the breakout I like to see in year one or two, is hitting over the top 24 trend line. I also like to see them breaking out over the 30% dominator by their third year. And that kind of all feeds into the hit rates that I use to do projections for my rookies.
I love exactly what you were talking about and explaining it, but I want to kind of try to re-explain that a little bit for the people who maybe aren't as statistically motivated in the Rookie Fever audience. So essentially just picture a graph with year one, year two, year three, year four out of college. And then you make a trend line. It's an ascending trend line of the historical averages for the market or the weighted dominator for these top 24 NFL wide receivers. And that's essentially what you're trying to see, is if you're above, below, or at where they are in their years out of school. And Jarek really focuses on those first 2 years because that explains away a lot of the NFL. It's a very good at predicting NFL success, right? Is that a fair?
Yep. Yeah, that would be a fair way of putting it.
So definitely go check out those graphs over at campsacan.com. They're very clear, and it's just a great way of depicting age-adjusted college production. And that's pretty fair to say, right? Your process in a nutshell is evaluating age-adjusted production, right, Jarek?
Yeah, care a lot about age-adjusted production.
I have to keep reminding myself it's year-adjusted production, not age-adjusted production when we're talking about your process. So what's the theory behind year or age-adjusted production? And why should we value that when we're evaluating these college wide receivers?
Yeah, so the theory or story we like to tell about the year-adjusted production is that it shows the players who kind of have an innate ability when they're inferior to the experience of their opponents. They're inferior to the physical maturity of their opponents, which players just have an ability to get open, an ability to command their team's touches. The players that are the best of the best will command touches earlier in their career. Sorry, I guess I would like to add, I do look for early declare. I think that is, especially in the top three rounds, I think that is a big point to look at. And then return stats for a player are kind of like a cherry on top. I still haven't figured out the best way to work those return stats into a model yet either.
I'm glad you brought that up. I believe I talked about that on a previous rookie profile with Zach Reed. We were talking about Rondale Moore, but return ability from a college wide receiver prospect demonstrates some dynamism at the NFL level that kind of translates over to playmaking ability and yards after the catch. So when you're the only player selected or one of the few players selected to be a returner at the college level, that is showing some coaches' assessment of your playmaking ability, and that kind of trickles over to the NFL as well. We've talked a lot about stats that you care about and that you put into your process. However, there's a lot of other stats, a lot of other analysis being done, and a lot of it's based around a lot of noise or descriptive stats. Doesn't really help us predict what's going to happen at the next level. Are there any of those that really stick out to you that you avoid in your process?
I would say, and this may upset some people, but senior year stats are noise. I believe a wide receiver's actual skill will be shown in their first 3 years, and counting the senior year play when a player is more experienced than his competition just kind of adds a little bit more noise than signal to your scouting.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a little spicy. I don't hate it. Don't hate it at all. Kadarius Toney, Truther's faces might have melted off a little bit there, but I like it. Before we move on to the rest of the show and get into our rookie tonight, what about wide receiver athleticism? Do you value that? Do you think it's important in wide receiver evaluation?
I care about it to the extent that it impacts their draft capital. I don't think it makes them a better or worse NFL player, but it obviously impacts your draft capital. So that, to the extent that it impacts draft capital, that's all I care about. Yeah, I don't really care about the combine at all.
You know, you're passing a lot of, you came out fiery with your anti-age, caring about age to start off with, but you're really starting to round the corner with hitting these checkboxes about how wide receiver testing numbers don't matter. Let me guess, BMI, do you care about BMI?
I haven't found a reason to care about it yet. So,
you know, that's when we'd have the game show sound ding, 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 ding. You're really moving on to the next round here. And so why don't we do that? Because I could keep talking process with you all night, but let's talk about Isaiah McCoy.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Tonight's rookie profile, like we said, is Isaiah McCoy. He's an NFL Combine invitee. He's going to be a 21-year-old rookie wide receiver out of Kent State. And over his sophomore and junior seasons, he averaged 5.7 receptions per game, 96.5 receiving yards per game, and just about a receiving touchdown per game. Pretty decent counting numbers. But moving on a little bit, Jarek, you're one of the few people I've seen in the Twitter sphere hyping up McCoy. And I've been talking about Isaiah McCoy for a long time. When I first put in the new rookies in the database, his adjusted production numbers jumped off the page to me. Now it's your chance here on Rookie Fever to wrestle away Isaiah McCoy from me and make him your guy. What's the pitch, Jarek?
Back to my process. Usually start with looking at the weighted dominator of a prospect. I usually like to show these, like you said, with charts and the nice trend line there. But I'll try and break it down so listeners can understand what I'm getting across. So year one stats, he had 17.5% weighted dominator. That's just below the top 24 average for a freshman, which is usually 20%. In his sophomore year, he had 31.2%, and junior year had 35.2%. Now, if you remember from earlier, a genuine breakout that I like to look at for my hit rates is that 30% weighted dominator. And he hit that in year two, which is, that's exactly what you want to see from a sophomore wide receiver. And then if you're looking at his above average above top 24 receivers, he was 5% above that average in year two and 3% above that average in year three. So he passed both the top 24 average and the 30% mark in year two. And that is a nice, very nice box to check. Moving on to his reception yards per team pass attempt, he had 1.01 year one, 2.45 year two, and 3.61 year three. So that's, his freshman year was below the line again, but his sophomore year, he was 0.4 above, which is a decent bit. In year three, he was 1.2 yards per team pass attempt above the top 24 average. And also for reference, generally breaking 2 yards per team pass attempt is good. Breaking 3, I would classify as a great season. So he passed 3 yards per team pass attempt in year three, which is nice. Box checked there. He was an early declare, which you like to see. And his return stats, he had last season, he played 11 games. He had 3 returns for 77 yards and one punt return for two yards, I believe. And then this season, he played 4 games, but he had 5 returns for 62 yards. So he has shows that the team wants to use their best player in kind of all aspects of the game. And so from my evaluation, he has the skill to be a good NFL receiver. I guess the question is if the NFL sees it that way.
Well, I mean, Isaiah McCoy, I think you just outlined it perfectly. Those are really exciting stats to, from a market share of his offense, from a yards per team attempt, having some return upside as well. Combine invitee, which that at least shows us that he's on the NFL's radar, at least to get invited as a early declare. There's a lot to like for Isaiah McCoy. However, on rookie, you know, we can talk up these players all we want here, but there's a reason why Isaiah McCoy might not be the on the tip of the tongue for every person who's consuming rookie content out there. So what are maybe some concerns or question marks we have about McCoy as a fantasy wide receiver?
Yeah, so one question mark we have is his level of competition. Coming from the MAC, he has one of the worst levels of competition in his draft class. Not ideal. And yeah, another concern that I have with his profile is his pro day was not great. He ran a 4.68 40-yard dash at 6'2", 200 pounds, you know, decent size, but his 40-yard dash was just not great. So that's my concern, is that could scare off NFL teams from drafting him altogether, I guess.
Like you said, when you were talking about your evaluation process, you can't find anything in the metrics to say that athleticism matters when evaluating these prospects, except that it predicts draft capital and that NFL teams care about it. So we just got done talking about so many exciting things with Isaiah McCoy. Let's not let this stop this train. Let's keep it moving. I know you're not a film guy and you do rely on certain people for your film analysis. However, what have you heard? What have you read? What do the numbers tell you? How does Isaiah McCoy play the wide receiver position?
The one time I heard about Isaiah McCoy, it was after his pro day, and they said he was a field stretcher, which is kind of backed up by his yards per reception data. He had 15 2 years ago and had 18 yards per reception this year. So that kind of seems to fall into the field stretcher category. The reason they mentioned that is because the NFL probably does not like to see a field stretcher come in with a 4.68 40-yard dash.
Yeah, when you hear that 40 time at that size and you hear field stretcher, that is not what I would say is ideal. However, we will not let this train get derailed on Rookie Fever. There is still so much like about Isaiah McCoy. His value is incredible. So let's lay out a map to success for Isaiah McCoy.
One thing I would like to see for his route to success would be being drafted to a team that doesn't have a lot of wide receiver depth ahead of him. If he can go somewhere, maybe one injury to a player, he might be able to take full advantage of that opportunity. That's kind of what the path to success I'd see for him. NFL teams like to feature their earlier round draft picks, whether they're better or not.
I guess now, do you think maybe his special teams ability, maybe he can contribute on special teams? Maybe he gets featured in the return game. That's a way for him to stick on a roster too.
That's a good point. That could be a way for him to start out his career and then build his role from there. I could see it happening.
I think it's really difficult to ask like, hey, what's his floor, ceiling, and median projections? Because I think it's pretty obvious. His floor is he doesn't get drafted and he's a UDFA and he's not a priority UDFA, right? So I think that's his floor. But what do you think? Let's say what do you think? Best case scenario, what kind of player do we see Isaiah McCoy being? Like a Julian Edelman type, or what are we thinking?
I was thinking a Michael Gallup type. Both come from G5 conference, kind of seem more of a downfield role, not the most athletic players on the field, just played well in college when they had the opportunity. So I could see a Michael Gallup type player being his ceiling. Maybe even Gabriel Davis this year have relatively similar profiles, especially from the production side. I'd like to see that as his ceiling.
Ooh, those are two names that I get really excited about when you mention them. Gabriel Davis had a really solid profile that did not get a lot of buzz before the draft process or after he landed in Buffalo because of the landing spot. Just didn't flash, but yeah, really solid profile. And I see what you're talking about as far as the production profile with Isaiah McCoy, Gabriel Davis, as well as Michael Gallup. Now, both of those seem like ceiling comps, best case scenario. But what we've seen from Isaiah McCoy, there's optimism there. There are ways to success. Now, we've been dancing around it, but where do you think he's going to go now in the NFL draft? Do you think he's going to get selected, or is he going to be more of a UDFA kind of guy?
If we're talking most likely, he's probably going to be a UDFA type of player. Yeah, I haven't seen him really projected or mocked anywhere in the draft. Doesn't even have a profile on grinding the mocks, which isn't great, but doesn't mean he won't make a team and still get an opportunity. It's just, yeah, I would expect the most likely outcome to be undrafted.
Look, I get it. We've been hyping up Isaiah McCoy this entire episode. There's a lot to like about him, especially his production. But then you hear UDFA and then the wind kind of goes out the sails a little bit. However, he still has value, people. He has the production profile to succeed even as a UDFA. Might take a couple of years, but the biggest part is for everyone listening, we're degenerates here. We're talking about rookies 365 days a year here on Rookie Fever. Those deep 16-team Superflex rosters, 14-teamers, taxi squads. He's not even in the sleeper database, people. You land him on a squad, you stash him there, get some buzz in camp, gets a little excitement, maybe makes a practice squad, or even makes a team after he shines in rookie minicamp, and then we go from there. That's the thing. This is the fun part. We pick our sleepers, and we go for it. And that's why I had Jarek on here, because Isaiah McCoy is a lot of fun to talk about. Now let's take, we've talked a lot about Isaiah McCoy now as a prospect. How about, where does he kind of fall for you among the other wide receivers in this class? Does he fall in your tiers for you?
Wide receiver 16 for me right now in my rankings. Kind of just behind guys like Tutu and Tamorion Terry. He has that exquisite production profile that I'm kind of leaning heavily on right now. I also have him ahead of guys like Kadarius Toney, Nico Collins, and Dwayne Eskridge. So I have more confidence in McCoy's talent versus the players behind him.
You know, I think that's how you get your data analytics tattoo right there, is when you put Isaiah McCoy over Kadarius Toney in your rankings. That's how you do it right there. So just drop the mic. Let's keep it rolling here. I can just see someone who's just a big time Kadarius Toney guy hearing that. He's like, what the heck? Who is this Isaiah McCoy guy? So I love it. Now, then we throw in the other positions like the QBs, running backs, and tight ends in a super flex type draft. You target him fourth round, or fifth round, or is he a priority free agent? Whatever those squads are, taxi squads. How are you really approaching him when you're ranking him with these other players in the draft as well?
It's a little bit depending on how the draft plays out, but I don't think I'd reach for him in the fourth at all. He's probably more around a fifth round pick. Even then, he might just post-draft pick up and stash on your taxi squad kind of player. Because talking about him on Twitter, not a lot of people know. Like, Jalen Darden is going to be a lot of people's like fifth round flyer, and he might even get it pushed up to the fourth round with the peak production hype that he's getting.
Hey, it's all changing now for Isaiah McCoy. He's appeared on the Rookie Fever podcast. Before you know it, the buzz is going to start. The fever is going to grow. He's going to be in the sleeper draft pool. Things are happening. But I think you've kind of already asked this, but where does Isaiah McCoy fall for you when we're looking at the 2020 wide receiver class? Obviously, as much as we've hyped him up, he's not in the Lamb, Judy, Jefferson tier whatsoever. One of my favorite questions to ask is, where does Isaiah McCoy fall on the Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney line? Is he in that tier for you?
Yeah.
Prospect?
Yeah. I would say his profile is basically in the same similar tier as Mooney and Gabe Davis, just because their production profiles are just so similar. I even put a graph out the other day showing how McCoy, Mooney, and Davis stacked up. And they're, other than Mooney being a four-year player, their profiles were just, their dots were almost overlaid on the graph.
You heard it first here, folks, from Jarek Backus, co-founder of Campus to Canton. Isaiah McCoy fits right in with darlings from last year in Darnell Mooney and Gabriel Davis. So if you were feeling a little down after that pro day, don't let it get you down. All right. To kind of wrap up Isaiah McCoy a little bit, is Isaiah McCoy a priority target for you in these deeper formats?
In the deeper formats, yeah. I would want to stash him at the end of my bench. He would be one of my late breakout targets for rookie drafts or pickups post rookie drafts, because a lot of people aren't even thinking about him. So he could be a perfect breakout candidate that you can get on almost all your teams.
Well, that's true enough, as long as they're not in a league with you or I. Now, kind of wrapping up Isaiah McCoy, you tried to map out a path for success for Isaiah McCoy earlier. You mentioned some landing spots. What would be those ideal landing spots for you for Isaiah McCoy?
I know people also hate to hear it, but somewhere like Baltimore seems like it would be a good place for him, with a slimmer depth chart, or the Lions or the Colts, maybe, where he can earn some opportunity. Just those shallower depth charts, especially the Lions, because there's like nothing there.
Are you telling me that Geronimo Allison is going to beat out Isaiah McCoy? I don't think so. Give me Isaiah McCoy any day of the week.
Nailed it.
Green Bay, too. I wouldn't hate to see him in Green Bay.
That's true.
That's not a bad... And then he gets paired with a weak depth chart. There are situations we can start getting excited about these guys. I know we're draft capital snobs. We love our draft capital. That's part of the whole thing with the data analytics part of it. However, there are situations where these the way to succeed if you don't get draft capital is age or year adjusted production. I just want to end with that. Like, that's why we care. We're trying to beat draft. Like, hey, all right. If we just want to talk about draft cap all the time, then why do we even care about anything else? Why don't we just pick it the way the NFL picks it? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
There's ways to beat draft capital. And the way to do it is looking at guys like Isaiah McCoy.
Yes. And not drafting Kadarius Toney.
Honestly, what we should have done is what we should do is just say this is a Kadarius Toney profile and just talk about Isaiah McCoy the whole time.
Anytime I can find some some airtime to crap on Kadarius Toney, I'm going to take it.
Jarek, we've been talking for quite a while. I don't even know how long the ticker's been going tonight. I want to thank you first and foremost on behalf of Mike Fenero, Shane Swagger. Thank you for coming on and doing this Rookie Profile series. We've had a lot of fun doing this series, and for you to come on, share a little bit different perspective. You're the first one to talk about year in college, talking about, instead of just talking about dominator or market share, you're talking adjusted dominator or weighted dominator. It's been really fun to have you on. Really appreciate you coming on, sir.
Thank you for having me. This is a good time, and I love talking about Isaiah McCoy. Love preaching.
Awesome. And I know we mentioned the top, but can you kind of remind everybody where they can find you, what you're working on, and kind of some of the exciting stuff you're doing for content creation?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Jarek Backus, and you can find a lot of my work at now at campus2canton.com. That's if you want to play around with the player metrics app or filter by college seasons, you can find that on campus2canton.com. And you can find the whole database yourself if you want to play with it on Patreon. I think it's /DeviData. So if you're more data inclined than charts, that one's for you. But yeah, that's where all my work is found.
And I am a patron of Jarek. I'm not a patron of very many people. I'm a patron of Jarek. I highly recommend it. You cannot get this data anywhere for these upcoming Devi prospects. And I definitely recommend going to check that out. Going over and checking out Campus of Canton. Jarek, this was a good time. This might be the nerdiest I've gotten on Rookie Fever Profiles. I've enjoyed it. Thanks again. And everyone else who's listening, be sure to check. If you haven't checked out any of the other Rookie Fever Rookie Profiles, do so. I think we're over 30 Rookie Profiles deep now. And they're short 30-minute, 35-minute episodes where we talk process and we dive in on these Rookie Profiles. Fenero had Izzy from the Dynasty Trade Calculator on to talk Mac Jones, loved McCorkle talk, and then Swags had John Lobb on again for bonus John Lobb to talk Zach Wilson, and I really enjoyed both of the episodes this week, and to finish off with Jarek tonight was awesome, so check it out, 30 Rookie Profiles deep. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Rookie Profiles.